This week on America Interrupted from the PBS NewsHour. The coronavirus has killed 200,000 and infected 6.5 million people in the U.S. But amid those statistics, there are the 2.5 million Americans who have recovered from the disease.
We're survivors. I thank God for it. And that's all I can say.
We hear from three of those survivors about what it was like to have COVID-19, why getting better is an ongoing process, and why it affects people so differently.
Your personal experience is so vastly different than mine, than to yours, than to anyone else's.
Listen and subscribe to America Interrupted, wherever you listen to podcasts.
As we've been mentioning, the U.S. has passed yet another tragic marker in the pandemic. More than 200,000 people in this country have died from COVID-19 and related complications. That, in a period of less than 8 months, is nearly twice as many Americans who have been killed in every major conflict since the Korean War combined. Our understanding of how the coronavirus is spreading continues to evolve. We want to take this moment to clarify much of the latest scientific thinking. First, a report from Stephanie Tsai, followed by a conversation with William Brangham.
The coronavirus can remain infectious on plastic and steel surfaces for up to 3 days.
That has many people worried about shopping and other everyday tasks.
You've got to be putting that disinfectant on these groceries.
This was the sound of fear early in the pandemic, after studies showed that the novel coronavirus could live on surfaces for hours, even days. It led to a furious wave of scrubbing, disinfecting, and sold-out cleaning supplies across the country.
But the problem with those experiments is that they didn't relate to what a real-life scenario would be like.
That's Dr. Emmanuel Goldman, a microbiologist at Rutgers, New Jersey Medical School. In July, he published this article in the British medical journal The Lancet, arguing that these early studies greatly exaggerated the amount of virus that could actually be found on surfaces in the real world. He pointed out that the lowest amount of infectious particles researchers used to test surfaces in the lab was 10,000, a huge amount.
You'd need something like 100 people coughing or sneezing on the same small surface area to get anywhere near the amount of virus that they used to in these experiments.
He says these mistakes and a lack of scrutiny have siphoned limited resources from everything from subway systems to schools for excessive deep cleaning that shows little evidence of helping prevent COVID spread.
Our mothers taught us, you go to the bathroom, you wash your hands. You prepare food, you wash your hands. You touch something dirty, you wash your hands. That's all you have to do. Normal routine hygiene is sufficient to protect against this virus.
Meanwhile, he adds, not enough money and attention have been paid to what we now know is the primary way the virus travels, the air.
A teacher from a school system saying they were going to shut down the schools one day a week for deep cleaning and disinfection. Wouldn't it be better to use it instead on ventilation systems or hiring more teachers so you could have fewer students per class?
So you want to try to replicate the outside indoors in your space.
Dr. Shelley Miller is an environmental engineer at the University of Colorado Boulder. For decades, she's studied the way pollutants and infectious diseases spread in indoor spaces, and over the summer helped her own university prepare for when students and faculty return to campus.
Yeah, you want to control the source of the contaminant. And in this pandemic, the source are the infectious people inside. And so to control the release of virus, you want to wear a mask, and you also want to be outside of their personal cloud. But some of the virus can potentially leak into the environment, and then you have to clean the environment. And the way to do that is with filtration and ventilation.
The simplest way to do that, she says, open a door or window. But in many parts of the country where it's still too hot or becoming too cold to do that, Miller says there are different ways to increase a building's mechanical ventilation and filtration. Here's a basic guide. Buildings up to code should already be replacing the inside air with outside air 3 times an hour. But with coronavirus, that should be doubled to 6 exchanges per hour, and ideally to 9 exchanges per hour. And crucially, the more people there are contained in a space, the more exchanges are needed. HEPA filters, which stands for high-efficiency particulate air, should also be added to ventilation systems to increase protection.
If I walk into a restaurant or a classroom, is there a way for me to personally tell if that is a safe place to be, if there's enough ventilation?
Unfortunately, at this point in time, no. And that is why a lot of times I've been saying, well, we really need to address this. We need to give buildings and classrooms and other facilities resources so they can let the public know how they have attended to this.
She and others say the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the World Health Organization have been too slow to move away from early guidance on surface disinfection and towards clearer guidance on preventing airborne transmission. Last Friday, the CDC did add language on its website about aerosols from coughing or breathing spreading the virus and the need for ventilation, then suddenly removed it.
So the only rule of thumb I can say is if you walk into a space and it feels hot and stuffy in there, and you can smell smoke and you can smell different odors, then it's probably not ventilated enough and you probably shouldn't spend very much time in there.
Even portable air cleaners can help. And Dr. Miller and her colleagues have created a guide for schools on these, which you can find on our website. The bottom line, if you're thinking about going back to the gym, to a restaurant, your office or school, keep washing your hands, keep wearing your mask, and keep social distancing. But don't let those deep cleans fool you. Ask what they've done about the air.
The problem is that it's been out there for so long, and as Shakespeare said at the best, what's done cannot be undone. And it's going to be a long time to turn this ship around, if ever, because a lot of people still are operating on these assumptions.
For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Stephanie Tsai in Phoenix.